Just open discussion.
So as far as that whole arc, and James touched on it perfectly, as far as an animated series, she was immature, quick-witted, whereas here, you know, she's very patient. One thing that kind of caught me off guard is that she gave them a day to figure out what they wanted to do, which I was like, okay. And then the fact that they lead into Admiral Thrawn, which I think Mike mentioned it. Somebody mentioned it.
It might have been me. I've been talking about Thrawn for like a long time now.
So that was like awesome to see that, because it wasn't just the live universe. It was the animated universe. Did anyone catch the Knights of the Old Republic assassin droids that were on there?
Yeah, I read about it after I watched it.
Yeah, so I mean, I thought that was pretty cool to have it all intertwined. All this Star Wars canon all kind of morphed into here. And I think you guys talked about it earlier as far as Mandalorian is, his shoulders is very heavy because at this point he is carrying the Star Wars universe. My impression, this is how all episodes should be interwoven in a bigger universe without forcing the viewer down a specific path. That fight scene at the end, now, she could have killed her easily, but if she killed her, she wouldn't have got the information. My view might be a little different that she wasn't trying to kill her. She was just trying to disarm her.
Talk it up to that, but like to James's point where it was kind of the combat was pretty slow. They were going for more style over substance. I look at Revenge of the Sith as all style and chock full of substance. There was a story being told in those fight scenes. And this is very methodical and well-placed, very much like Kill Bill. Even the whole standoff scene between Mandalorian and that one gunslinger, Michael Biehn at the end, kind of mirrored what was going on with Ahsoka and the magistrate. I need Kathleen Kennedy to understand that that statement she made where there was nothing written in stone for them to use for as a template for Star Wars moving forward. Dave Filoni went right back to what started the expanded universe, and that was fucking Thrawn. And he dropped a name, a little name, Thrawn, in this one episode, and that just sparked all kinds of shit off. It can go any fucking where. You got opportunities to bring the Jedi back, because Ahsoka already mentioned that there were other Jedi out there. Dudes are talking about, well, are we going to see Luke Skywalker? They're open to recasting Luke Skywalker. I've seen a bunch of threads with people being open to recasting his character.
They were talking about Sebastian Stan.
That would not have happened 10 years ago. 10 years ago, no one would have wanted to hear about that. But because of the shit-stained movies that they put out, sequel trilogy, and the fact that Filoni and Favreau have done such a good job handling it, they know full well that it's going to be handled with some type of reverence, some fucking respect. You can go any damn way. Before this episode, I would say, if you would have asked me, where could they have gone with Star Wars? We already talked about it. You can only go like 100 or 1,000 years into the future or in the past. You can't do anything in the time period that Lucas even touched on.
And bring this to Star Trek. Star Trek is technically doing the same thing with less success. It's just kind of confusing to me how you can screw Star Trek up. You have multiple options. The thing is about this one is that you have people that care. And that's the big thing. Like when you have somebody that cares, like regardless of J.J. Abrams says he loves Star Wars, he doesn't love it. He didn't like Star Trek. He screwed that up. But Mike, were you about to say something?
Oh, I was just going to go on this whole tangent about number one. Yes, y'all already said the child has a name. We finally got a damn name, Grogu. So then we got another piece of information, because my biggest question after the first season was, how the hell did the child at the time know how to use the Force? Well, we found out on Coruscant.
He was actually trained.
Right, he was trained, and then somebody took him.
You know what I'm thinking?
Mace Windu.
Yep, I was thinking that.
Mace Windu.
Because if you think about it, let's go through the timeline here. All right.
Apparently Anakin didn't kill all the younglings.
Fight he had with Windu. Cuz hand off and threw him out the window, right? Then a little bit after that is when they march into the temple, right? If I remember correctly. That would give him time, because if you think about it, he's the only one that knew at that time what was going on with Anakin. No one else knew. So it would make sense for him to somehow, some way, make it back to the temple during the attack. And he was probably too beaten up to really do anything. He saved what he could. He saved probably the most powerful, can't say is a Padawan. But you know what I'm saying?
A youngling. Yeah.
Yeah.
Technically, I guess he's going to be a baby for another 50 or so odd years. So
yeah,
the way they kind of talked about him was that he'd been there for like 40 years already. Various masters have been training him throughout that whole time.
Who else around that time would be able to get him and sneak him out?
and take him to Coruscant? Was that where he was?
Yeah.
I mean, not Coruscant, Tatooine. He was on the Jedi Temple. Then they took him to Tatooine. Wasn't that where he got him from? Or
well, he got him from, but we don't know if that's where he was or somebody else had already taken him. Because remember, Ahsoka said he had his powers because people were hunting him. Like I said, he might not have been on Tatooine this whole time. He might have been somewhere else and was just being moved around. We have no idea. Like I said, this whole episode raises a shitload of questions. Jay, to your point about Mace, shout out to Beep. He said hi to everybody. Talked to him yesterday. He mentioned that it may be somebody that you all probably wouldn't even think of. And it's Yada. And she's basically the female version of Yada.
Yeah.
She left the Jedi Council. But
I thought she got killed, man.
He sent me a video where somebody said, in this point in the timeline where the Mandalorian takes place, she's still alive. She hasn't got killed yet.
I thought she got killed during the... Okay, well. Could be that.
So,
I mean, I'll be fine with that too, but I don't know. Just say if it's not her, the only person I can think of is Mace.
So
Obi-Wan wasn't there. He was on a whole different planet.
And Beep honestly went with Mace too. He said, yeah, it's probably Mace Windu before he went over to battle Palpatine or whatever. And that would make sense. He said the other theory he heard is the librarian is Maz Kanata.
Right.
Yeah.
She might have grabbed him and snuck him out of there.
No.
Or in a way, nothing to do with the other trilogy, the new trilogy.
I don't want any of the characters from J.J. Abrams' iterations of Star Wars to ever affect anything that has relevance in The Mandalorian.
Are you saying Maz Kanata was a librarian?
So she would have been standing there, heard people coming, grabbed any youngling that was around and hid or got up out of there, basically. It's an offshoot character. It's more than likely going to be somebody significant. I doubt they're going to go that route.
I don't think they'll bring her back into
it. Yeah, so it would either have to be Yaddle, which is not a bad idea, but I'm putting all my baskets into Mace. Like I said, I don't think it happened before. I think it happened after. Smuggled a kid out. Mace, to be honest with you, throughout the whole series, Mace was always kind of skeptical of Palpatine anyway. Always skeptical about Anakin, too.
Mace is more of a man of action. He would more or less, he would be more practical instead of thinking of saving the future of the Jedi Order. He'd be thinking more along the lines of, I need to kill these motherfuckers right now. So I need to find the most capable killers of these people immediately, not grabbing babies and taking them off the planet. It's right. Kind of seems out of character.
Well,
but you got to remember.
I'll throw something out there. Wounded. Completely random. Qui-Gon Jinn. His Force Spirit.
That's some J.J. Abrams shit, yo.
Yeah, I was about to say.
You really want to go to Force Spirits rescuing people?
Yeah.
Yeah, keep that J.J. Abrams shit out of here. Like, all right? That has been retcon. This retcon, all right? Ahsoka Tano is going to retcon that whole bullshit, all right?
No one's going to even think about those movies. Just like the X-Men movies. No one's going to think about them after Marvel Universe comes out.
Exactly, Matt.
It'll be part of what they call legacy films. Part of the first movies that came out. That no one cares about anymore.
Well, no, they'll still care about the X-Men stuff because Wolverine.
We'll like it, but again, to Matt's point, once the X-Men movies come out for the Marvel Cinematic Universe, those will be the definitive X-Men movies all time. That will be the end of it. J.J. Abrams, understand the depth of your failure. Understand it. Live it. This episode just cements it. Everything that episode had and the series have done so far, that sequel trilogy crap did not have.
I mean, the sequel trilogy is just one big MacGuffin from the first, The Force Awakens MacGuffin. Like, nothing happens. Second one, MacGuffin, with a little bit of stuff happening. Third one, definitely MacGuffin. Nothing actually happens. And then you get more MacGuffin. And then that MacGuffin doesn't even matter any longer. And somehow they just magically figure out if I do this and that, we can find Palpatine. MacGuffin.
You know what also happened in this episode? Filoni did something better than what Lucas did. He outdid Lucas as well, because Attack of a Clone, you kind of got the idea that Jango Fett was kind of a badass because he went toe-to-toe with Obi-Wan back and forth, but at the same time, you always felt he was losing the fight. And then Mace Windu just one swipe and shit, and he's dead. Yeah, and then Boba Fett killed by accident on Tatooine and shit, so you didn't get the feeling that the Mandalorians were a real threat. And this episode, you kind of saw that, you know, they got some good Beskar armor on them. They're gonna fuck a damn Jedi up. They're not stormtroopers and shit. They got superior gear that could take a Jedi out.
I like the fact that she references Darth Vader in it as far as being too close.
Yeah.
Using her personal gamut. Although I guess people who don't follow Star Wars won't understand what is the relevance of her character. But if anything, probably after this, they'll probably be on YouTube looking up any single source of information they can find to see how all these tied in, because that's what I ended up doing. I was like, oh, this is pretty cool. And then come to find out, I mean, the animated series did it real justice, and to see it translate into real life universe kind of gives it a new meaning.
Oh yeah, Dave Filoni had it.
There's been what, two characters from the anime series in Mandalorian, Bo-Katan, and now Ahsoka. That's pretty good. I like how it's all meshing the animated series, you know, the movies and all that. Most of the time, something gets left on the floor. You know,
yeah, Packy said that it's becoming the new MCU, and I told him, "Yeah, you're right." The way that
what it is.
Oh no, just leave the movies alone for a while. Unless they get someone like Favreau, Filoni, or anyone but JJ doing it.
Do you see Rosario Dawson doing long term?
Oh, they have a series.
Yeah. Do you see her playing it?
Yeah.
I don't know anything about her contract.
The House of the Mouse. I doubt this is a one-off.
Yeah, she probably got a series lined up already.
Yeah, and if you think about it, Boba Fett series started shooting this week. They had already announced that. So pretty much anybody you see now, I would question whether or not a series spins out from this, because I think they figured out we got a formula that works. Let's do it.
Shoot, I wouldn't be surprised if somehow, some way, doing an Obi-Wan series, Ahsoka shows up in that.
Look, I think the sky's the limit, right? Because, okay, this go to my other point I was going to bring up. At the end, she sent them to the planet. I forget the name offhand.
Knights of the Old Republic.
And go to the Sheen Stone and let Grogu look out through the Force, and he gets to choose his path for one, and then the Jedi come looking for him. Of course, the biggest question was, which Jedi would come looking for him?
But the thing is, though,
Luke.
See, possibly, but then also you got to remember that, like, when he does that, he's not going to be sending a signal to Jedi. He'll be sending a signal to any Force user, so that could be Sith as well. He may put more shit on his head by doing that.
How about the Inquisitors?
Possibly.
Well, they're dead now in this timeline, but no.
Are they dead?
All of them dead?
All of them? Or just the three that looked for him? Was it 6, 7, 8?
You never know. They could be in hiding.
Yeah, that's true.
You got to think about it. The Empire fell. You know, you're not going to be out and about like, yeah. You know, they may be in hiding as well, just like some of the Jedi are in hiding.
Well, with Thrawn, he basically spent all the time after the Empire fell gathering up all the Imperial resources that was all scattered around. In the books, his last key was to find someone, an Imperial figurehead, take the place of the Emperor, force-trained either Sith or Jedi. He preferred Jedi as opposed to Sith. He wouldn't be able to control a Sith.
It's too volatile.
Yeah, he wouldn't be able to control a Sith. A Jedi or a fallen Jedi, he'd be able to manipulate. It can go either way at this point. Mike's point is sky's the limit. You can go anywhere with that.
General Admiral Thrawn. The thing is that the last time we saw him was that he was with Ezra. Yeah, so they went ahead light speed somewhere. That's the last thing we know. And from my understanding, that was what Ahsoka was looking for. Was looking for him.
So we look for Ezra. So Thrawn.
But then we haven't heard anything. Yeah, so that'll probably be another introduction to an actual Jedi, because she's not a Jedi.
My theory was, I kept asking the question of who would come look for Grogu. And so initially I went with Mace, because that was a rumor online everybody kept going with. And I was kind of in on that. So Packy was like, nah, think a little harder. And I said, okay, well, if it ain't Mace, it's definitely Luke, because Luke's out there at this point in the timeline. And I was like, he would make the most sense to come back. Plus, I said personally, I think that's Favreau's and Filoni's way of giving a big F you to Kathleen Kennedy and all that BS they did. But then Beep was a little further and was like, no, it'll be Ezra. Because the way this whole season's been going and how they're tying everybody back in, Ezra's the ace in the hole. That's the one person everybody's been looking for, been wondering about. And that's the one thing you can give it by the end of the season that had everybody like, oh, shit. Because then you tie all this stuff together for real.
You don't even bring in the live universe movies in that, because it's like totally something else. That's a good point, Mike.
And then I know where the Sheen Stone they're going to, that has something to do with Revan as well. So that whole Easter egg's out there now.
Was there any reference to Revan in this?
Just the Sheen Stone planet where she sent them. That had something to do with him.
Okay.
Showing more of the connection between Grogu and the Mandalorian, kind of the father-son thing. Like, even when he said, I'll go get him from the ship and bring him back so he could train him, he looked like he was reluctant to let him go.
Yeah, I noticed that part.
When I cut it on, I did not expect to see Ahsoka taking people out like that. Whoa.
When I was watching it with my wife and my in-laws, Ahsoka popped out. I explained to them quickly. They were kind of like, oh my gosh, she's awesome. She's badass. Who is this? So she is Anakin Skywalker's apprentice in between the two movies. And they were like, oh shit. They were completely invested in her character after that. But once that little bit of lore got dropped, they were all in. I don't even know who else they could introduce other than Ezra that would top Ahsoka and everything. I mean, it was going to be good with this, with Ahsoka. I didn't realize it was going to be at this level.
Straight up violence in the first 30 seconds. I was like, wow. Even like some of the cinematography, I guess one of the guards is standing there and then all of a sudden right behind see the glowing of the lightsaber. That kind of reminded me a little bit of Aliens. Guys are standing there and then the aliens pop up from behind. I kind of like that, the way they're doing the series. So.
And plus, one other thing is like Ahsoka is probably, arguably, one of the best new characters created in the whole Star Wars lore. That includes all the new movie shit. She is perhaps the best. I don't see anyone else like topping her. Watch Rebels and you've seen Clone Wars. You see the progression, and to see her on screen, it made it more real. I mean, I don't know if that's the right word to use.
No,
but
I think right, because for years people always complained about the fact that we never got a live action Ahsoka. We always just got animated.
Right. There's a possibility of another Jedi out there around this time frame too. Keith, you'll probably know where I'm getting that. But I seriously doubt if they're going to introduce him in this. Because that would be awesome if they did. Cal Kestis, Jedi Fallen Order?
I don't think they will, but...
I've actually been going through that.
That would be a good nod to it. The actor actually worked out for the role too. He did all the motion capture for all the lightsaber scenes and everything. So he'd be in shape for that. Crap. That would be... They already got the cast. Same time period, I think.
That's exactly what I'm saying. And so just imagine, right? Because remember, the end of the game, the holocron
that had the name. Right.
But just say if they go to this planet and he sends out a force beacon to all force users, Kyle gets that shit. Him and I forgot the...
Oh, the only downside would be because the game takes place during, I think it's in between The Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. Yeah, to replay the game. But I think it takes place before the Battle of Yavin.
This is basically before the next trilogy.
Do you know when the Mandalorian series takes place?
Set exact date 5 years or so after Return of the Jedi.
Okay, all right, cool. That makes sense.
Damn, so Ahsoka that's been around for a minute. If you think about it, shit.
They live a couple hundred years. Even, I guess, in this particular series, she's like 40.
She's late 30s.
She was young as shit.
She was.
As a Padawan, she was at least in her teens.
She's like 14, 15, if that old.
So if anything, she's probably in her mid-30s, I'm assuming. But that would be interesting, too, because then if they do go that route, that's a while after the game. That means he survived.
Like, they spoil what happens in the game.
They can't do that, yeah.
Yeah. Right now, they've earned my complete faith. Just roll with whatever they put out there and trust that it'll settle up moving forward.